Hey everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the 1001 Films Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Gardner, and today I'm going to be going through the Oscar nominations that were released this morning. I'm not going to do every category, but I'm going to do all of the major categories and then some of the technical categories that I want to focus on. So we will get right into it right after this word from our sponsor. Alright, so the first category that we're going to be looking at is Supporting Actor. And the nominees are Brendan Gleeson for Banshees of Inisherin, Brian Tyree Henry for Causeway, Judd Hirsch for The Fabelmans, Barry Keoghan for Banshees of Inisherin, and Ki-Hui Kwan for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Now, I think the biggest omission from this category is Paul Dano from The Fabelmans. I thought for sure that he would get nominated. He's been nominated for a lot of the Guild Awards. I think he got a SAG nomination. And just because of the fact that he is in most of the movie, and he's kind of in between like a supporting character and a lead character. So I was a little bit surprised to see Judd Hirsch get a nomination over Paul Dano, simply because Judd Hirsch is only in one scene in the movie, and I don't know if that warrants a nomination for Best Supporting Actor. I mean, he's good in the scene, but it's like there's so many other moments that Paul Dano gets to play with throughout the film. Also, another omission is Eddie Redmayne from The Good Nurse. I thought he could sneak in there as kind of like the number five nominee. And then also both Brendan Gleeson and Barry Keoghan getting nominated for Banshees of Inisherin. I think that's good. I love that movie. It's one of my favorite of the year. If you listen to my top 10 of 2022 episode, I sing the praises of that film, but I think ultimately it doesn't matter. It's Ki-Hui Kwan, it's Short Round. He's gonna win this for Everything Everywhere All at Once. He has the narrative, he gives a great performance. It's kind of a return to acting after taking a lot of, a really long time off. So I think it's Short Round all the way for sure. Next we are going to talk about Best Supporting Actress, and the nominees are Angela Bassett for Black Panther Wakanda Forever, Hong Chau for The Whale, Carrie Condon for Banshees of Inisherin, Jamie Lee Curtis for Everything Everywhere All at Once, and then Stephanie Hsu for Everything Everywhere All at Once. I guess, all of these actresses are definitely, deserving. I have not seen Black Panther 2 or The Whale yet. And then Jamie Lee Curtis and Stephanie Hsu, both for Everything Everywhere All at Once. I think they've been, they've been hitting the campaign trail as far as getting themselves nominated and, trying to get Everything Everywhere All at Once its chance to win Best Picture, which we'll get to later. So I think that's why they probably both get nominated. They're both seemingly very likable people, and they give good performances. But like I said in my top 10 episode, Everything Everywhere didn't really hit me in the emotional moments like it did, it seems, most people, for whatever reason. I don't know. But they're both good. Jamie Lee Curtis, Stephanie Hsu, they're both good in the film. As far as who I think is going to win, I think Angela Bassett definitely has a chance. I mean, it's a Marvel movie, and for whatever reason, the Academy just seems to not want to recognize the Marvel movies for whatever reason, especially in the acting categories. But she has been in winning all of the Guild Awards and all of the Critics Awards. So I think she has a real shot. I mean, this one is pretty wide open, essentially. I could see any one of these actresses winning. So it'll be interesting to see. when they actually announce the winners. All right, so the next category is for animated feature. And the nominations are Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, The Sea Beast, and Turning Red. So the only one on, I guess the only two that I've seen on this list is Pinocchio and Turning Red. I think Pinocchio wins this in a landslide. I think it's been the favorite in this category since it debuted. All the other nominations aren't really surprises, but I mean, there's not much to say. It would be the biggest shock, one of the biggest shocks in Oscars history if Pinocchio does not win this award. So definitely look out for that come Oscar night. All right, and then the next category is original score. The nominees are for All Quiet on the Western Front, Babylon, Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and The Fabelmans. I mean, of course, you got to nominate The Fabelmans because it's scored by John Williams, and the Academy loves John Williams. It seems like every time he scores a film, he gets nominated. I think he has the most, he either has the most or the second most nominations behind Walt Disney. I'm not sure who has more Oscar nominations than John Williams, but he ha has, it's like 40, I think. I think it's over 40. He's been 40 times he's been nominated for an Oscar. So I don't know. Don't be surprised if he wins. None of these really stick out to me. If I try to remember back when I saw these films, none of these really stuck out to me as like all-time great original scores. I was a little bit surprised that Michael Giacchino didn't get any nominations. I mean, he had one incredible year. He scored Jurassic World 3, Lightyear, Thor 3, and he directed and scored the Disney Plus Halloween special thing for Marvel, Werewolf by Night, and The Batman. So he had an incredible year, and every single one of those scores are completely different. You know, John Williams, you can definitely tell that he has a style. He has a sound. Hans Zimmer, definitely, he has a sound to his scores. Michael Giacchino, or Giacchino, I think is how you say it. He can do pretty much everything. He can do all. He can do big Marvel movies. He can do small independent pictures. He can even direct. He could do whatever he wants. He already has an Oscar for Up, and he was also nominated for Ratatouille. So expect him to, in my eyes, he's the next John Williams. You know, once John Williams, is officially retired or dies, I mean, he's probably gonna, die in the orchestra pit. I mean, he's, what, like 90 something years old. I don't think he's ever going to stop until he has to. But look for Michael Giacchino in the future. As far as the original scores for this year, I haven't seen Babylon, and that's the only one I haven't seen, so I can't say, I can't give a fair assessment on that score. But as far as all of the others, I wouldn't mind any of them winning. John Williams, give it to John Williams. I mean, why not? I mean, it's such a typical Oscars thing to do, give John Williams a nomination and potentially an award for scoring a film that's directed by Steven Spielberg. I mean, we've heard it a million times before. Why change the narrative now? So just go ahead and give it to John Williams. Why not? So the next category we're going to talk about is adapted screenplay. So the nominees are All Quiet on the Western Front, Glass Onion, A Knives Out Story. Or a Knives Out mystery, sorry. Living, Top Gun Maverick, and Women Talking. I really wanted to see Del Toro's Pinocchio in here. I really thought it would get a nomination for adapted screenplay, but I guess because it's such a unique take on the Pinocchio story that we all know, but While I didn't like it as much as the first Knives Out movie, Glass Onion is probably the favorite here to win. The Academy loves Rian Johnson's writing, so look for him to take this for Glass Onion for sure. But I also wouldn't mind if All Quiet on the Western Front or Top Gun Maverick won. Either one of those would be I would be okay with. I also haven't seen Living or Women Talking. But from what I understand, those are both very dialogue-heavy, kind of Oscar-baity scripts, so no surprise that those also got nominated. All right, the next category is Original Screenplay. Original Screenplay. We just did Adapted, so this is original. So the nominees are Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, and Triangle of Sadness. I have not seen Triangle of Sadness yet. That one got a Best Picture nomination, so I'm going to try to see it before Oscar night. I mean, it's kind of popping up here and there. I haven't really heard much about it. I don't even know what it's about. But we'll see. I really liked Banshees of Inisherin and Tar. I mean, Tar is definitely a very Oscar-baity type of film. Extremely dialogue heavy, reliant on Cate Blanchett's performance. Her performance really is the star of the show, so her performance is carrying it through these Oscars, and everything that Tar wins, every category that it wins in, it's basically, secondary to Cate Blanchett's performance. Banshees of Inisherin and Everything Everywhere All at Once are really weird movies. Very original scripts, very good dialogue, very good concepts, and both of them, they're very weird, but in completely different ways. I think I mentioned that in my top 10 episode. The Fabelmans and Tar are kind of the traditional safe bets, but I think my favorite of the five is Banshees of Inisherin, so. I don't know what the favorite would be. If they're going to give it to. They might give it to Fablemans. Because I don't think that it's going to win Best Picture. But we'll see. All right, the next category is cinematography. So there's. The nominees are All Quiet on the Western Front, Bardo, Elvis, Empire of Light, and Tar. So I have not seen Bardo or Empire of Light. Empire of Light is, the cinematography is done by Roger Deakins. I mean, he's one of the great cinematographers of all time. So no surprise that he gets nominated again. He's been nominated, a dozen times or so. He's been nominated a bunch. Elvis is definitely more showy. It's the most showy of the five. As far as cinematography, but I mean, how do you not have either Avatar: The Way of Water or Top Gun Maverick in this category? I mean, they invented a new camera for cockpit filming for the cinematography in Top Gun Maverick. I mean, how do you not recognize that? I don't know, maybe it was number six of the five, but I would take any of these out. I would definitely take Tar out and put Top Gun Maverick in there because Tar. There's a lot of very long takes, a lot of static shots. It's very traditionally filmed. It's not very showy, like Elvis or even All Quiet on the Western Front. So I would definitely take Tar out of there and put in either, Avatar or Top Gun Maverick. All right. And I don't know, the most likely to win. That's tough to say. I would say probably All Quiet on the Western Front. I mean, there's a huge international contingency of the Academy that I think is probably pushing pretty hard for this film to win a lot of awards. It's nominating a lot of categories. I think at pretty much everyone that I've talked about, except for the acting categories. So definitely look for potentially. All Quiet on the Western Front to win, but I would be happy to see Roger Deakins get another one. after winning for Blade Runner 2049. All right, so the next category is visual effects. So you have All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar: The Way of Water, The Batman, Black Panther: Wakanda Forever, and Top Gun: Maverick. I mean, not a lot of surprises here. You know, visual effects is always going to have... this is the category that I think people, casual movie fans, would have seen the majority of these films. All Quiet is on Netflix. You know, Avatar has made $2 billion. Batman, you know, it's one of the most popular superhero characters of all time. I mean, Black Panther 2, that's a Marvel movie. Those always make a lot of money. And then Top Gun Maverick, I think that has made more than $1.5 billion worldwide. So, you know, no real surprises. How do you not give it to Avatar? Avatar is, the first one at least, is revolutionary in filmmaking. I saw it, and I saw Avatar 2, and I think, you know, it may be, I saw it in 3D, but it's kind of an embarrassment of riches when it comes to Avatar. You know, the first one was so revolutionary and was so incredible technologically that when I saw the second one, it's kind of like, I've seen this before. I mean, I know they did a lot of filming in actual water, and that Cate Blanchett, who plays the mother of the water tribe, like the priestess of the water tribe or whatever, she like now holds the record for the longest time of in the longest breath hold in film history or whatever. It was like 11 minutes or something ridiculous that she was underwater acting, and she you know, held her breath for the whole time. But so yeah, I don't know, what else can you say about Avatar? I mean, it was good, but I think because I saw the first one and it was so similar to the first one, it was kind of like Law of Diminishing Returns kind of thing, that my mind wasn't completely blown away like it was the first time. But it was still incredible. It's still, you know, a fantastic achievement of cinema. So, honestly, any one of these I would be pretty happy. But, I mean, how do you not give it to Avatar? The next one would probably be Top Gun Maverick, just because of all the fighter jet scenes and everything that they had to do for that. I think this kind of, the visual effects kind of makes up for the fact that it wasn't nominated for cinematography. So I would definitely be happy if Top Gun won for best visual effects. Alright, so here's the big ones, the big categories. Actor, actress, director, picture. Alright, so lead actor, the nominees are Austin Butler for Elvis, Colin Farrell for Banshees of Inisherin, Brendan Fraser for The Whale, Paul Mescal for After Sun, and Bill Nighy for Living. Let's see, I have only seen 2 out of 5. I have not seen The Whale, I have not seen After Sun, and I have not seen Living. Bit of a surprise to have Paul Mescal in there. I thought, you know, not a lot of people have seen After Sun. I haven't seen it. I don't even really know what it's about. But I thought for sure Tom Cruise would get in for Top Gun Maverick in that fifth spot, but they nominate Paul Mescal instead. I think the favorite is Brendan Fraser still. He, you know, gives the performance of a lifetime in Whale, so I've heard. I haven't seen it yet. I've been trying to avoid all the promotional material and everything about it. I don't know what it's about. I've seen pictures of him in a fat suit, so I don't know. I don't know what it's about, but apparently it's really good. But of the two that I have seen, Austin Butler for Elvis and Colin Farrell for Banshees of Inisherin, the things Colin Farrell does with his eyebrows in that movie is just incredible. The way he just manipulates his face is just, it's insane. It's an incredible acting performance. And like I said in my top 10 episode, Austin Butler just becomes Elvis. When he's singing Unchained Melody as Fat Elvis at the end of the film is, I mean, it's transcendent. It's just incredible. So either one of those three, I think, really have a shot. I think it's a three-horse race. Austin Butler, Colin Farrell, or Brendan Fraser. The only thing that might hurt Brendan Fraser is the fact that not a lot of people really liked that movie. The Whale, I thought it might get a Best Picture nomination. It doesn't. We'll get to that in a minute. But I think the fact that it's kind of a mediocre movie or a very divisive movie might hurt his chances for winning, despite his incredible performance. I mean, how do you compare Austin Butler and Colin Farrell? I mean, they're two completely different performances, completely different characters. It's just so hard to pick between them. I mean, Banshees is one of my favorite movies of the year, so I think I would like to see Colin Farrell win just because he's never won before. He's had a very long and storied career. He's been in a lot of blockbusters. Recently, he's been in a lot of really weird movies like this, where he really gets to like stretches his acting abilities, and he's really challenging himself as a performer. So I'd really like to get to see him get some recognition. And, you know, Banshees has got it's got to get something. It's got to get some award. All right. So the next category, we already got three left. The next category is Best Actress. So the nominees are Cate Blanchett for Tar, Ana de Armas for Blonde, Andrea Riseborough for To Leslie, Michelle Williams for The Fabelmans, and then Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Bit of a surprise to see Ana de Armas in there for Blonde. She played Marilyn Monroe. That film, also like The Whale and Brendan Fraser, is very divisive. Kind of a mediocre at best film. I have not seen it, but from what I've heard, her performance is excellent. But the film overall is really not that great and kind of a slog and kind of hard to get through. So we shall see. I don't think she really has any chance anyway. The big surprise is Andrea Riseborough for To Leslie. It's kind of like a very low budget film. I don't know much about it, but apparently they had a huge kind of grassroots Oscar push to get her nominated. So, you know, glad to see people doing things on their own, independent from studios. You know, I love artists that, you know, take those kind of risks. Michelle Williams in The Fabelmans, I mean, she's okay. I mean, I don't necessarily think that it's anything special, her performance, but, you know, she got a nomination. So I think really this is a two-horse race between Cate Blanchett and Michelle Yeoh. Except based on all the other nominations, I think Everything Everywhere All at Once got a total of 11 nominations, so that's a lot. Considering there's only, I think, 23 categories, so they're, if you take out the shorts categories, it's nominated in half of the other available categories. The shorts and the animated categories, Everything Everywhere All at Once is nominated in half of the other available categories, so that's definitely incredible. Cate Blanchett gave a performance of the lifetime in Tar. It's just that her character is so despicable and such a bad person and such an undeserving person of the recognition that she receives as that character in that film. I could see Michelle Yeoh pulling the upset and winning over Cate Blanchett. I mean, Cate Blanchett already has two Oscars. So, and Michelle Yeoh has been in the industry for decades, never really had a lot of chances to be a lead in a film. She got the lead in Everything Everywhere, and she really knocked it out of the park. So I would still bet on Cate Blanchett winning, but don't be surprised if Michelle Yeoh sneaks up there and takes it. All right, two categories left for best director. The nominees are Martin McDonagh for Banshees of Inisherin, Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert for Everything Everywhere All at Once, Steven Spielberg for The Fabelmans, Todd Field for Tar, and Ruben Östlund for Triangle of Sadness. Ruben Östlund also got a nomination for original screenplay for Triangle of Sadness, so he's kind of sneaking up in there. A little bit surprising because I haven't heard a lot about that movie. But I'll try to check it out and tell you guys what I think before the Oscars on March 12th. A couple of noticeable absences from this category are no James Cameron for Avatar: The Way of Water, no Joseph Kosinski for Top Gun: Maverick, and no Edward Berger for All Quiet on the Western Front. I think All Quiet on the Western Front is second in as far as most nominations this year. So, it gets all those nominations and then doesn't get Best Director. I mean, I get there's only five spots, but if you're going to nominate the film in all these other categories, why not? All those other categories are essentially controlled, and I don't know, like it's the vision of the director. So if you're, it's like that Christopher Nolan thing in 2008, with The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight got nominated for eight Oscars, was snubbed from Best Picture and Best Director. Back then there was only five nominations for Best Picture. I think if there were 10, he definitely would have gotten nominated. But that's a different conversation. As far as the directors this year, Todd Field is a little bit of a surprise to me because the whole film, like I said before, is just based around Cate Blanchett's performance. And I guess if you're going to get that kind of performance out of that actress, the director's main job is to direct the actors on how to act. That's their main job. So, to get that kind of performance out of a, I don't know, 2 hour, 45 minute, 3 hour movie from this actress where she's essentially in every scene, I think is definitely something to be recognized. But like I said, that movie is so tough and hard to get through because she's such a despicable person. So a little bit surprised that he got nominated, but I still think deserving. And of course, you're going to put Spielberg in there for Fablemans, directing a movie about how he fell in love with movies and how he broke into the industry. The Academy loves movies about movies, and it loves movies about movie makers. Steven Spielberg is arguably the most prolific filmmaker of all time. So, no surprise that a movie about his life, directed by himself, is going to get nominated for Best Picture and Best Director. So, I don't know. I don't know. I just hope it's not Spielberg. I love Spielberg. I love his movies. He does a wide variety of films. He directs one almost every year. He gets nominated all the time. I mean, the Academy loves Spielberg. He's the poster child of what filmmakers are supposed to be and what they can accomplish if they really love the art and the craft of filmmaking. I just hope they don't give it to him though, because that's boring. That's a safe bet. That's traditional. If they want to attract a younger audience and attract all these bigger ratings to the show, and if they want to stay relevant, then they have to adapt and they have to change. Spielberg's been making movies since the mid 70s. That's 50 years ago now that he's been making films. Give someone else a chance, for goodness sakes. I would love if the Daniels won for Everything Everywhere All at Once, or Martin McDonagh for Banshees of Inisherin. Banshees is, I put it maybe two or three in my favorite films from last year. So we'll see what happens on Oscar night. All right, the big one. Best Picture, final category. We finally made it there, half an hour into the episode. All right. So, Best Picture, the nominees are All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Fablemans, Top Gun Maverick, Tar, Triangle of Sadness, and Women Talking. All right, so there's no real big surprises. Maybe Women Talking over She Said is a little surprising. Women Talking, I don't think got nominated. Just looking at my notes, I don't think it got nominated. Oh, adapted screenplay. That's the only other one that I see on my in my notes that it got nominated for. But overall, I think it's a good mix of blockbusters and kind of traditional Oscar bait. Avatar: Way of Water, Top Gun: Maverick, and Elvis are all kind of these like huge bombastic films, huge blockbusters, made a lot of money at the box office. Most people that watch the Oscars are probably going to have seen those three over the other seven. And then Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's a smaller film. It's from A24, that does a lot of weird, strange projects. It's the highest grossing movie from that studio, A24. It's made over $100 million. So I guess essentially you could say that that is also a blockbuster. If if the cutoff for being a blockbuster and not a blockbuster is $100 million. Everything Everywhere All at Once qualifies. I mean, All Quiet on the Western Front, again, the European international contingency of the Academy is, really pushing hard for that film to get a lot of awards. Banshees of Inisherin, no surprise. Fablemans, again, like I said before with Spielberg, it's a movie about movies. It was going to get nominated, whether it was good or not. Tar is a little bit surprising as well. I think, Can the is a perform is a single performance from a single actress enough to carry a film all the way to a Best Picture nomination? I don't know. Apparently the Academy thinks so, but her performance is just it's the film all by herself. So I don't know if that's good enough to qualify for. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a great performance. She's really good in the film, but I just don't see it coming anywhere close to winning Best Picture. But as they say, it's an honor just to be nominated. And then I haven't seen Triangle of Sadness or Women Talking. But of the other eight, I think I've seen all the other ones. Yeah, of the other eight that I have seen, let's see, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Yeah, got them all in there. All right, so of the other eight that I have seen, I don't know. Again, I just hope it's not The Fablemans. Just because, it's the boring pick, it's the traditional pick. I think. It has a better, Fablemans has a better chance of winning original screenplay or director or both, but not Best Picture. I would love to see either Top Gun Maverick or the Avatar The Way of Water to win, but it's likely the two front runners, if I was going to say at this point, are Banshees of Inisherin and Everything Everywhere All at Once. I think Everything Everywhere All at Once is too high concept. It's too weird for kind of the older section of the Academy. So if I was a betting man, I'd put it on Banshees of Inisherin. And I'm not, again, I'm biased. It's one of my favorite films. So I hope it wins. But if not, All Quiet on the Western Front definitely has a chance to win. I mean, Parasite a few years ago also won Best International Picture and Best Picture. I think All Quiet has international film locked up in the bag. I don't think there's any chance. I don't think I mentioned that, but just kind of off the top of my head, It doesn't matter. All Quiet on the Western Front's going to win Best International Picture. But overall, just kind of looking at the nominations and just thinking of the year in film, I think it was a good year. Like I said in my top 10 episode, it's not back where it was pre-pandemic, but I think it's getting there. 2022 was definitely a good year and a step in the right direction. So look out for the Oscar ceremony on March 12th on ABC, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. We'll see how that goes. Expect it to be stuffy and boring, and a lot of lame jokes and overly long musical performances that don't really have a lot of bearing on the rest of the year in film. So we'll see how that goes. I love the Oscars. For me, it's a lot of people get upset at the Oscars because they don't nominate any blockbusters, or they don't nominate any films that people actually see. But for me, the Academy is the premier awards show. It is the premier film organization, at least in the United States, if not the world. And this is their opinion. Of all the moviegoers in the United States, of all the filmmakers in the United States, only 10,000 are members of the Academy. The literal hundreds of millions of other people in this country that go to see the movies are uninfluenced by what the Academy says. It's two different groups of people. The Academy has its opinion, the public has their opinion. That's why they have the People's Choice Awards. They have the Critics' Choice Awards, because the people, the Academy, and the critics are often on very different pages. So they get so everybody gets a chance to recognize all of their favorite films. It's like you're talking to your friend about a movie that they like, and you don't like that movie, or you like a movie that they don't like. That's fine. It's just an opinion. It doesn't matter. If you like a movie and you enjoy watching it, but it doesn't have any Oscar nominations, who cares? It's your life, it's your opinion. Just go on liking that film. Spread it around. Tell your friends, tell your family about movies that you like that don't get recognition. There's tons of movies out there. Another thing is that there's limited number of nomination spots. So you can't nominate everything. You can't expand every category to include everything that everyone wants just to make everyone happy. That's like handing out participation trophies. It ruins the prestige and the greatness of the award, and how tough it really is to get a nomination, let alone a win. For actors, they have to give a performance of their lifetime and hope that someone else doesn't do the same in the exact same year for them to win an Oscar. So, take all this with a grain of salt. I do this because I love talking about movies. I love the speculation and the guessing and the predicting around awards shows. It's kind of like a sport. People like sports. I like sports. I like basketball. I like football. You don't know what's going to happen, but you watch anyway, just to see what happens, because you like what it represents. And the Oscars, to me, represent greatness in film. The Super Bowl represents greatness in football. It's the same thing, just a different subject. So your team might not always win. Your team might not always make it to the championship. They might not always win. But if you like them, just keep on liking them. Same thing with movies. If you like a movie, if you like an actor, just keep on liking them. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. It's your opinion. You're entitled to it. Films are subjective. Art is subjective. The Oscars is just it's like another person with an opinion. You might not always agree with them. You might not always like them. You might think they're boring and elitist and stuffy and all of that, but I don't know. I like talking about movies. the biggest night in movies is the Oscars, so I'm not gonna stop talking about the Oscars. But anyway, those are my thoughts on the nominations this year for the Academy Awards. Again, they will be on ABC on March 12th, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. So after the winners are announced, I will give you my thoughts on who the winners are and what I think about that. So thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes. Check out my blog, 1001filmblog.wordpress.net or .com. I just recently started a new series where I'm writing essays about social justice films and the messages in those films throughout film history. I just posted an episode, or I just posted an essay on The Grapes of Wrath, and this past Friday and this upcoming Friday, I'll be posting essays on The Best Years of Our Lives and Gentlemen's Agreement. So definitely check it out there. Again, 1001filmblog.wordpress.com, and check me out on Twitter at SMGReviews. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will catch you next time.